Hare Krishna, I welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Chepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 24th Chapter, 69th Verse. Hare Krishna Keshavananda Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Shri Prabhupad ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for joining and giving your valuable association and time this morning. We are very, very fortunate to have you on the call. Prabhu, please take over the call. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Keshavananda Prabhu, you are there on the call, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can hear me now?
Yes, now I can hear you, Prabhu. Yes.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Idam Japata Bhadram Vo Vishuddha Nipanandanaha Swadharmam Anustishthanto Bhagavati Arpitashayaha. National Prabhupad by Srila Prabhupada. Translation, my dear son of king, of the king. Just execute your vocational duty as kings with a pure heart. Just chant this prayer, fixing your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. That will bring you all good fortune. The Lord will be very much pleased with you. Okay, the Prabhupada. The prayers offered by Lord Shiva are authoritative and athletic. Simply by offering prayers, Supreme Lord, one can become perfect, even though engaged in his occupational duty. The real purpose of life is to become a devotee of the Lord. It does not matter where one is situated, whether one is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, American, Englishman, Indian, one can execute devotional service anywhere, everywhere in the material existence, simply by offering prayers unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna Mahamantra is also a prayer for a prayer, addresses the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his name, and invokes good fortune by petitioning the Lord to allow one to engage in his devotional service. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra. My dear Lord Krishna, my dear Lord Rama, energy of Lord Hare, kindly engage me in your service. Although one may be situated in a lowly position, he can still execute devotional service under any circumstance, as stated Ahituki Abhita. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended this process. Jnane prayasam tapasinamante vajivanti sanmukaditam bhavadiya vartam sthane chita shrutigatam tanu vang malobhir ye prayaso achita ajito api tai strilokya. Shiva Bhagavatam 10.14.3. But he remains situated in his own place of his own occupational duty, still lend his ear to receive the message of the Lord from realized soul. The Krishna conscious movement is and draw Krishna all over the world to give everyone a chance to hear the message of Lord Krishna in order to go back home, back to God. Okay, so let's see. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurvani Vachatne. Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Vaishchandesh Thari. Okay, so what does this verse say? Idam japata bhatram vo vishuddha nivanandana swadharma manutishtanto bhagavati arpitasha. Now, Lord Shiva has concluded his prayers to the Lord, and he has given these prayers to the king, and he's saying, idam japata bhatram vai. This chanting prayers will fix your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. Prabhupada translates like that. That will bring you all good fortune. Idam japata bhadram. Bhadram means good fortune. This chanting will bring all good fortune. Vishuddha. Vishuddha means purified. and you'll become purified by this. Prabhupada translate gives a translation of this that Lord will be very much pleased with you. Vishuddha. That's interesting. Prabhupada give word to word Prabhupada gives purified, but the translation he gives, the Lord will be very much pleased with you. That's very interesting translation, because if you are pure and if you Lord is not pleased, then what's the use of that purity? As Narad Muni says, one of his famous verses, Tapsa tapaskim, if Hari is pleased, what the use of doing austerities? If Hari is not pleased, then still what's the use of doing any austerity? So if Krishna is pleased, then if Krishna is pleased, then why, what's the use of becoming pure by any other process? There's no need, because automatically the soul will become pure. And if Krishna is not pleased, then what's the use of using any other process which will bring purification? Or you can say, if Krishna is not pleased, what's the use of your purity, so-called purity in Krishna consciousness? Just like, for example, what's the use of remaining perfect brahmachari if Krishna is not pleased? And this happened in Mahaprabhu's pastime. There was this Dugdadhari brahmachari who was drinking only milk. And in fact, he was not just drinking milk, he was leading his life very purely, and Srivas Thakur, he was very impressed by that. He was quite impressed by him. That's why he brought him to meet Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu said, straightforward told him that, well, he might be brahmachari, he might be drinking only milk, but at least bodily he's pure. Mentally he's pure, but I don't consider his purity as... He might be Shuddha, pure, but he's not Vishuddha. What's the use of that purity if Hari is not pleased? So he said, you just throw him away. Because in the presence of him, I can't chant properly. It's disturbing my chanting. That's the whole point. Vishuddha, Prabhupada translates. Narasimha doesn't say Shuddha. He says Vishuddha. And that means everything in a life should please Lord. That's the whole point. And to please Lord, now the question is, how to please Him? Swadharma manushtheshtanto. Lord Shiva says, well, you can also do all these things, just execute your occupational duty as kings, your heart. So, now Vishuddha word can also be combined with Swadharma Anushtishtanti. So Lord Shiva says, well, you can do you should perform your occupational duties with a purified heart. Occupational duties with the intention to please Lord Krishna, Bhagavati Arpitashaya. And offer all these activities and the results of them to Krishna. The whole point is Lord Shiva is recommending you stay anywhere. Srila Prabhupada brings this point here. Real purpose of life is to become devotees of Lord. Prabhupada says, simply by offering prayers to Supreme Lord, one can become perfect even though engaged in his occupational duty. That's the whole point, even though engaged in occupational duty. If you can renounce all your occupational duties and become full-time, that's the best. Because sarva dharman paritachye. But for most of us, it's very difficult to renounce occupational duties and fully surrender to God. So, okay, you can do your occupational duty and still become perfect. No problem. Because ultimately, if occupation, your occupational duty is not obstructing your devotional service. That is the footnote there. If your occupational duty is like slaughterhouse or maybe some sinful occupation, or you're selling meat or some some tobacco factory or drugs factory or cigarette factories or wine factory, what's the use of that? Then it produces sins, then it is obstacle in path of devotion. Not that kind of occupational duty. But if you do occupational duty with a pure heart, that means if you offer these occupational duties unto the Supreme Lord, or that means if you do occupational duties from the guidance of scriptures, and then offer the results or the activity itself, as in Varnashrama, to the Lord, then you can become perfect. But whatever you do, wherever you are, keep on chanting this prayer. Now that's the whole point. Prabhupada says, just chant this prayer, fixing your mind on lotus feet of Lord. It does not matter where one is situated. By the way, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra can execute devotional service anywhere, everywhere, until existence, simply by offering prayers to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada writes, ultimately, devotion is all about these two words, which Lord Shiva uses, Bhadram and Vishuddha. Ultimately, it's one word, Vishuddha. Bhadram and Vishuddha. Ultimately, devotional service is all about auspiciousness. Auspiciousness means brings you all good qualities. Ultimately, devotion is all about developing good qualities mentally, physically, and mentally. Developing divine qualities in your mind, and with the intention to perform your devotional service to please Lord. If that kind of emotion and that kind of understanding and thinking and feeling, if you're culturing that, whether you're full-time, whether you're in occupational duty, provided that occupational duty is not sinful, then anybody can advance. That's the summum and bonum of this word. Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is also a prayer. That's very interesting. Prabhupada brings this point. We can pray what Shiva recommends. Doesn't matter. But Prabhupada says the best form of prayer is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Now, here the question is, which prayer is better, Lord Shiva or Hare Krishna? Well, both of them are one and the same. It doesn't matter. But at least there is one difference. This prayer is very long. Lord Shiva's prayer, if you were to repeat, to chant on the beat, the entire prayer, one beat, chanting one round will be difficult. And difficult to remember. And Hare Krishna Mantra is easy to remember and easy to repeat. That's one obvious difference. But one more difference is there, that Hare Krishna Mahamantra already includes all the prayers of Lord Shiva. And you see, Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is also a prayer. For a prayer addresses Supreme Personality of Godhead by His name, invokes good fortune by petitioning the Lord to allow one to engage in His devotional service. You see the point? Anybody who chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra with Vishuddha, with the intention to please the Lord, and with divine qualities in mind, qualities of tolerance and humbleness, what Prabhupada said, devoid of false ego, then all these kind of prayers with Lord Shiva is saying is already included in Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Once you chant with intention to please Lord, Hare Krishna Mahamantra brings a lot of emotions. Just like entire Shikshastakam is in Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Bhakti Manu Thakur writes in Bhajan Rahasya. Bhakti Manu Thakur writes, well, when one starts chanting, then automatically one starts praying second verse, third verse, fourth verse, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth. These are all prayers which will manifest in the heart of a chanter as he keeps on chanting. It will automatically manifest as you keep on chanting, provided you have these two qualities, Bhadram and Vishuddha. And the more you chant, the more, again, you become more Vishuddha and you get more good qualities. But that's a preliminary qualification, to chant to advance in devotion while chanting. So Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Prabhaktyam Thakur writes, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the best. Prabhaktyam Thakur writes, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is called Mahamantra because it contains all mantras. Now what's the meaning of that? The meaning of that is, Prabhupada says in this purport, Prabhupada often says, it contains all mantras. That means, of course, you're not talking about demigods here. That's already excluded in the offenses of chanting of holy names. We don't want to equate demigods with Hare Krishna. And demigods are automatically pleased. We don't think about that. But what do you mean by having all mantras in Hare Krishna mantra? We are talking about Vishnu mantras. And also prayers like the Shiva prayers, Bhishma prayers, prayers of gopis, prayers of Brahma. All of these prayers are included in this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's the whole idea. All the mantras, Satyog, Kaliyog, Treta are included in this. What do you practically mean? That's the whole point there. So practically means this. When anybody chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with intention to please the Lord, automatically all these sentiments which are connected to other mantras, the heart is inspired to offer them to Lord. That is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And that's what is Shikshashtakam all about. Shikshashtakam is a sample of what a devotee experiences while he chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's just a sample, it's not the end. And this Mahamantra, and the more you chant, the more you practice with these two conditions, the more you will learn how to chant, Prabhupada says. How to learn chanting by chanting. So Prabhupada gives one meaning. My dear Lord, and dear Ram, O energy of Lord Hare, kindly engage me in your service. That is the foundation of all the prayers and emotions which a devotee experiences while chanting. So, although one may be situated in lowly position, he can execute devotional service under any other circumstances. As stated, ahitukya prahatyata. Prabhupada brings this point, by the way, interesting because Lord Shiva says, swadharma anusthita. Lord Shiva says, you can do your occupational duty. One perspective of saying this is, you can do your occupational duty is that it doesn't matter whether you're a Brahman or Shudra, Prabhupada says. Prabhupada brings this point from a different perspective. You may be situated in lowly position, but you can execute devotional service under any circumstances. You can be Shudra. Shudra means you might not have so many divine qualities like a Brahmana, but still we can execute devotional service. Or you might not have so much knowledge like a Brahmana. Let's say like that. You're situated in lowly position. You don't have the detailed knowledge of Vedas, Jyotish, Ayurveda, and all these things. But if your basics are clear, and if you're chanting just to please the Lord, doesn't matter. So because the whole thing what Krishna is seeing when you're chanting. When you're chanting, Krishna is not seeing, Krishna is not really seeing how much knowledge you have. Krishna is seeing when you're chanting, with what intention you're chanting. That's what Prabhupada says, attitude. So, because sometimes people can't even pronounce properly. I mean to say, properly in the sense, various people from various denominations, Prabhupada says American, and Chinese, and Spanish, they have different accents. They can't pronounce Hare Krishna clearly. So will they not go back to Godhead? Well, Krishna sees intention. If the aim is Krishna and aim is to please Krishna, Krishna accepts. Bhav Grahi Janardana. That's the whole point. Ananya api chet sudurocharo bhajte mam ananya bhak. Sometimes person can do some activities which are abominable due to habits. But if your intention is clear, I have to get over these habits, this weakness, And Krishna, please help me to get over these habits so that I can glorify you birth after birth. That's the intention. That's what Krishna is seeing. And then he's pleased. And Prabhupada says, Ahitukya Pratihata. Prabhupada brings that concept. Now this concept of Ahitukya Pratihata is very interesting because Krishna says your devotional service should be causeless and unmotivated. Ahituki means unmotivated and apratyata means unchecked, without any stop, continuously. Now these two words are very, very problematic words, by the way. Problematic in the sense they are difficult to understand. Let's talk about ahituki. Now, this word ahituki means having no cause. Your devotional service should have no cause. One obvious meaning is, Prabhupada says, your devotion should not have any material motivation. There should not be any cause, material cause for you to surrender to God. In other words, you should not go to Krishna for wealth, dhanam, janam, sundaram, all these things. But the whole point is, unmotivated also means that oh my Lord, I am doing devotion, and you are very merciful on me. Now, if you say like this, then it's not really ahituki. Ahituki means, Krishna, I am not doing devotion properly, and still you are merciful on me. Because if you think I am doing devotion and that's why you are merciful to me, then the whole thing is his devotional service and his mercy is having cause. And the cause is your efforts. I am doing devotional service and that's why you are merciful on me. That is why you are merciful. So Krishna asks you, why I am doing mercy on you, what you will say. From our point of view, we'll not tell Krishna, Krishna, you're doing mercy on me because I'm doing devotion nicely, I'm putting good efforts. You speak like this, it's complete nonsense. Krishna will say, come on, you did devotion for so long, but now you have kunjaravat, you've taken a nice bath like an elephant, but you put sand on your body again. So, from our perspective, ahituki means causeless. Krishna is doing mercy on us. He is engaging in us in devotional service. It's not our efforts. It's not our qualifications that he is giving mercy to us. It's not our qualification that he's making us a preacher and he's making us a via media to help others. It's nothing is there in us that he's making a via media. Well, I can think, okay, Krishna has chosen me to make so many disciples and guide them. Why? Because why you have chosen? Because because I did good sadhana and I was pure, so he chose me. No, and that is not ahituki. That is a cause. That is why. That might be a fact from Krishna's point of view, but from our point of view, we can't think like that. From our point of view, ahituki is, Krishna, you are making me guide so many devotees, and making me preach, and making me accept so many disciples. Why? Because you know that I am the most wretched, and I will commit so many blunders and I will completely fall down eternally into hell if you know in your mind if you don't engage me like that. So you have engaged me in this kind of service of guiding others, so that when I guide others, when they will benefit it, they will give good wishes to me, and because of those good wishes, I'll advance in devotion. So it's the other way around. A devotee thinks, well, why you have made me so much big guru and so many disciples and so many people. Why is that? Because I need blessings of so many Vaishnavas. Otherwise, there is no hope for me. But other devotees who are actually not accepting disciples, who are not guiding people, they are much advanced than me because they don't need good wishes of so many Vaishnavas. They have their own merits, something by which they can advance. But I don't have any merit. So that's why you have put me on the top position. You see the point there? It's a very different kind of thinking there. So that's called ahituki. Then your devotional service becomes ahituki. From your point of view, that's the whole point there. If you ask Krishna why he's doing the mercy, he might say, well, I'm doing mercy because you're doing sadhana. From his eyes, there is a reason for him to extend mercy. Otherwise, he becomes partial. So, but from our eyes, devotional service should be ahituki. That's the whole point. Or in other words, Vallabhacharya says, when we lose the pride of performing a sadhana, then our devotional service becomes costless. So we are doing sadhana, and when we lose the pride that by my sadhana I can attain mercy of Lord, that's complete crap. We might be doing the best sadhana, best among all others, but still that cannot attract mercy of Lord. At least from our point of view, that's not the cause of his mercy. He is giving you mercy so that you don't fall down into evil and into material world again, out of his own compassionate, merciful heart. That's what a devotee thinks, by the way. Otherwise, it becomes hetuki. It's not pure devotion. And the other word is apratiyata. Apratiyata means devotional service should be continuous. That's so nice. Devotional service should be continuous. So continuous, hata means stop, obstruction. Apratiyata means without any obstruction. Pratihat, hata means stop, pratihat means completely. Pratihat means every step, pratihat, every step there is obstacle. At every step you're stopping. And then again rising, then again stopping, then again rising. You're losing your enthusiasm, then again you're gaining enthusiasm, then again losing, then gaining. That happens with all of us. There's a sine curve. But real devotional service is apratiyata. It's always a cos curve or a tan curve. Hyperbola keeps on increasing. Enthusiasm. Here they are talking about enthusiasm. There might be fall downs, but enthusiasm doesn't fall down. To advance. That's apratiyata. You might slip while climbing a mountain, but you don't lose enthusiasm to go to the top. You again continue. No matter how many times you slip, you continue. Because you have to reach to the top. That's apratiyata. And that is also due to mercy of Lord. That kind of enthusiasm is also given by Lord. Krishna himself arranges to give such kind of enthusiasm to devotees whom he likes. And he likes those who like him. That's one. Simple. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommends in this process, Jnana Prayasa Madhapasina Mantayeva Jivantisan Mukharitam Bhavyadevartam Sane Sita Shudhikitam Tanubhangvano Veya Prayasa Ajita Jito Api Asita Istri Lokyam. Very famous verse, and Prabhupada recommends that leave all other processes and simply, Bhagavatam recommends Brahmaji, leave all the processes and simply bhavadiye vartam sanmukhavitam jivanti, simply live namanta eva, simply live your life should be namanta, your life should be a namaskar to me, entire life should be an obeisances to me. You're walking, you're talking, you're sleeping. Everything should be my an obeisances. Every action should be an obeisances to me. When you walk, you should feel by every step you're doing a circumambulation of Lord. When you sleep, you should think you're paying obeisances downward to the Lord. That's what is Namantayab. Jivanti, that's how you should live. That's how we should try to live. Sanmukharitam. And we should always chant Bhavadiya Vartam, always chant His glories. Devotional service, in one sense, it's very easy, but the whole point is, as Prabhupada says, application is difficult because process is easy, but the sentiments and the attitude which go behind that chanting and the whole life which we are, life which we are leading in devotional service, Jivanti, that's difficult. To make a conceptions crystal clear and to make a conceptions Vishuddham, just for pleasing the Lord, just for pleasing Him, just for honoring Him, Namandeva, and just for His glories and glories and only. And there should be no tinge of making ourselves important, making glorifying ourselves, that's out of question. Making ourselves even important in eyes of anybody on this planet Earth, then that is Namanta, Jivanti, Sanmukharitam, Bhavede, Vartam. Only in that state of mind you can always chant His glories. Ye prayaso chito abhi tai sri lokyam. Prabhupada says, when my situated in his own place, still lend his ear to receive the message of Lord from realized souls. That's the whole point. Stane sita shruti gatam. Here, that's the process here, because hearing will form your attitude, a proper attitude. And only a proper attitude can help you attain God. Just like I explained, ahitukya pratyata. It's a very different understanding. Causeless. Ocean should be more causeless. There should be no cause. Just like I gave example of a senior devotee, of devotees who are guiding so many devotees. Then Krishna, the whole idea is to receive the message, to hear again and again. Because there are so many, once you hear, you will hear one right thing and bring up 100 wrong things in your mind. You will hear one right conclusion and your mind will bring 100 doubts on those right conclusions. Then you have to again hear right conclusions of those 100 doubts. And then you will come to 100 right conclusions, and then you will bring 100 doubts for each right conclusion. So it will be 100 and 200, 10,000 doubts. Mind is like that. It will doubt everything. Everything and anything mind can doubt. So that's why we have to hear again and again. And then Krishna conscious movement is based on this principle. We are opening centers all over the world to give everyone a chance to hear the message of Lord Krishna, to go back home, back to God. That's what Prabhupada says. Prabhupada says this whole process is about hearing. So it doesn't matter what occupational duty you are doing. Provided the occupational duty is not eating all your time and it's not sinful, that's okay. You can do, because anyway you have to do something to live. But spend your time in hearing about Krishna, in hearing about His devotees. Just like today there is this appearance, I think appearance day of Ramanand Pandit, I think, or something like that. So, and also Balaram Rath Yatra. You hear about them. And hear about them, how they are Vishuddham, how they are Bhadram, how they are always doing everything to glorify their Lord, Lord Krishna. That's the whole art of devotional service. And all can be achieved simply by hearing from devotees and chanting Hare Krishna, as Prabhupada said. But the whole trick there is this attitude behind it, intention. And one example I gave you of Ahetuki. What do you mean by intention? So this is all all the mystic saints and all the people who are doing devotion, all big devotional saints. The entire difference between them and us is they were able to please the Lord. How? By the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Well, we are also chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. By the hearing devotees, we are also hearing devotees. By their attitude of pleasing Lord, glorifying Him, of not giving importance to themselves in any activity. And by the way, that's important, that's difficult also. You see the point, when we chant, our mind goes here and there. Why? Because we like to think about ourselves. And that's why our mind goes here and there, related to ourselves. But if your mind gives importance to Krishna and to His ego, then you will start, your mind will automatically start thinking about Him. Just like mother, she automatically thinks about a child. If a child becomes prime minister or something very important, 24 hours she'll be speaking about his child. My child has become a prime minister. He has gone to America, this and this and this. Because she identifies with the ego of her child. She thinks the child is me. So she might be living in a village, but she's so proud that his child has become prime minister. You see the point? Her pride is linked to the pride of the child. And then devotion becomes apratihata. It becomes continuous. So if you like thinking, if you're proud in thinking, oh Lord Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. It's not that if you like this pastime. If you like this pastime, that's nice, but if you're proud of, if you feel pride that the Master has lifted Govardhan Hill, I'm so proud of Him, if that's the state of mind, then while chanting, you'll automatically think of God, of Krishna. Now that is everything to do with intentions and attitude. There's a difference between liking and being proud. There's a lot of difference. Krishna Surasa Maya Hoy Andhkar. It's very difficult to actually, it's easy to distinguish between light and darkness, but it's very difficult to distinguish between reflection and shadows and real darkness and real light, because that's a gray area in between. Whether that's dark, whether that's light, shadow and a reflection, who knows where you will put it. You can connect it to light, you can connect it to darkness, it's up to you. So it all depends how you look at the situation. That's what hearing will help us. And then we can enter Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And all these prayers of Lord Shiva, when we chant Hare Krishna, all these prayers will be manifested within the chanting of Hare Krishna. So that's this one. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody wants to ask any question, I'll just end up here. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Anybody wants to ask anything, I'll just end it up there.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a beautiful class. Is there anybody having any questions for Prabhuji? Please go ahead and ask. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Keshwanand.
Hare Krishna, who is this?
Sureshwar Shyam from Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, Sureshwar. Yeah.
Prabhuji, few questions, bro. We are doing our occupational duty, like working for, some ex company, but that company may be doing stuff which is not favorable to the society, right? Like, which is intoxicating society or what? In that case, what do we do, Prabhu? Is that okay? Or?
In that case, If your company is making wine or something nonsense, sinful, then I mean to say, if the company is doing only that, then it's a good option to change it. But sometimes you can't change. Life is not that flexible according to our whims and fancies and wishes. So what do you do? Then, well, you can continue and use that money as much as possible in the service of God, and then pray to Him to guide you how to get over this. Then He will help. There's no alternative what to do. Just like Srila Prabhupada's sister, she had to cook meat for her husband. Prabhupada says, because she didn't have any option, she did it, but she was a pure devotee, like that. If you really don't have any option, I mean to say, you can try, anybody like this, they can try an option to change. But if they don't have any option, then continue, but then be careful to use money for yourself. Of course, you have to put for yourself your future and everything. But rest of that, use it in service of God. And that's all it should be. That's it.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. So one more thing, Prabhu. This one difficult thing to understand for me is this one. We say the process is simple, the application is difficult. So when the process is simple, the application also should be simple, right, Prabhu? Otherwise, you know, it's not palatable for people in Kali Yuga.
No, sometimes many other even processes are difficult. Like Dhyan Yoga, the process in itself is so difficult. Asana, Pranayama, that's so difficult. But here the process is simple, but the application is difficult. Now, it has to be like that because application is to do with your consciousness. I mean to say, application is also easy to a certain extent. That's the whole point. Process is easy, chanting Hare Krishna. Application is also easy to a certain extent. Any child can also do it. And how do you do? Chant on beats and like that. So at a grosser level, application is easy. But at a subtler level, application is difficult. That's the whole idea there. Because as you become subtle, because God will not accept you with all your imperfections. We have to become completely purified. So, and to become purified, we have created our own difficulties by making ourselves so contaminated. So application is difficult not because application of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is difficult. Application is difficult, but because we are complex. If there is some pure soul, for me, even application is easy. So process in itself is easy, but application depends who is applying it. That's the whole idea. So just like we can say, chant on beats. But then for 1 year old child, chanting on beats, that's very difficult. So the age of the child is a limiting factor in the application. Application will always be difficult according to the level of the consciousness of the person. And because in Kali Yuga people are so fallen and shudras, so application is difficult. Not because in itself application is difficult, because people are so complex that it has become difficult for them to do. That's the whole idea. But even then, on a grosser level, it's easy. But on subtler levels, then it becomes difficult. Like that.
Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhu, and thank you a lot for explaining these two words very clearly. Bhadram and Vishuddha. Vishuddha, right, Prabhu? Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanavad, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanu Pranams. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
This is a question not related to the class. Is it okay yesterday? Is it okay to ask?
Okay, you can ask me. Problem.
So we were reading
Bhagavatam, this Sati and Shiva pastime, and you know, we had a discussion, and Shyamagauri Mataji was asking why Sati had to go through so much, that she wanted her father to respect Shiva, her husband, and she came there and she found that that was not happening, so she had to give up her body. So her question was like, why so much?
Well, Bhagavatam says she did an offense against Lord Shiva. That's the whole idea, because first offense she did against a Vaishnava when she actually blamed Chitraketu for laughing on Shiva, isn't it there?
Yeah, but that comes later, isn't it? This is in the...
No, that is in Bhagavatam it comes later, but in chronology it's not. Because Sukhdev Goswami, he's actually mixing up pastimes here and there. Bhagavatam is not according to time frame, no.
Yeah.
So, but that's because some Puranas state like that. That's the offense she did. And but the main offense she did here is she didn't listen to Lord Shiva. She told him clearly. Her. And she didn't listen. So that was a guru aparadh. Lord Shiva is a husband and a guru for her, no. And she is disobeying the instructions of spiritual master. And Bhagavatam says Lord Shiva tried to explain her from different angles, but she couldn't really understand that. That's the offense she did. Another offense she did was in Ramlila. When she went to actually check Lord Ram. I mean, Valmiki Ramayana doesn't say, but some Puranas and Tulsidas Ramcharitmanas says, so even Padma Purana says that she goes and checks. I mean, she had doubts whether Ram is God or not. Isn't it? You know about that, no?
Yeah. You had mentioned one, Prabhuji. Can you say again?
So she was actually Lord Shiva and Parvati were traveling, and Lord Ram was weeping because of separation from Sita. So Lord Parvati asked Shiva whether he's God. I mean, to say, how can he be God? He's weeping like a human. Lord Shiva explained everything. You know, he's God and this and that. She says, I have doubts. I can't. Lord Shiva says, okay, test him. Okay, whatever you want to do, then it's your wish. So Parvati herself, she goes and tries to test Lord Ram. And then she goes, and then she takes form of Sita, and she goes when he's weeping, and she says, "Oh Lord Ram, I am here. Don't weep." Instantly, Lord Ram says, "My dear mother," and she was dumbfounded. She said, "My God, how did he know that I'm Parvati?" So she could understand that he's God. Otherwise, nobody can unravel this mystic illusion which was created by Parvati. So she just asks forgiveness. She goes back. So Lord Shiva says, "See, I told you that he's God. You had doubts, but the whole point is, you even tested him." And Lord Shiva asked her. By the way, after test, when she came testing Lord Ram, he asked, "Okay, so where were you?" She said, "Actually, you know what? I went to take blessings from Lord Ram." But in his divine vision, he could see that she first tested her. So he said, you didn't speak to me completely. I mean, you're lying to me in one sense." So that offense she did, and the Chitraketu offense, and this hair offense. So it just piled up, you know, and she had for them that offense. I mean to say, nobody, even great souls, cannot be exempted from the laws of nature. They have to suffer reactions from what they do, especially offenses against Vaishnava. That's why she had to undergo all these things. She didn't hear to her spiritual master, so the same reaction came. Nobody heard her. You see, she was giving explanations. Nobody heard her. Daksha Prajapati, he didn't hear me. Her mother, she heard her, but she couldn't do anything. Her sisters, they didn't really were not convinced by arguments. Then she committed suicide. that's the whole point there. Because of offenses which happened.
Thank you, Prabhuji. We were discussing so many things, but we could never come to this conclusion. So one more question was, it is mentioned like 2-3 things that you could do when you are there, and when Daksha was blaspheming Shiva and he didn't give, she could have either left the arena or, done something. But this is, self-immolation is generally not considered we can't do that, right? It's an because we don't have
but the whole point is we couldn't even leave, because she was saying, if I leave, then where will I go, because I disobeyed Lord Shiva and I can't even show my face to him. That was the whole point. She was in a dilemma now, so she thought, better I die, because I can't go to Shiva, I can't stay here, what to do? So she opted for this. Of course, she should not have done like this, by the way, ideally. Because the whole point is, you can't even leave your body without asking your spiritual master. You can't even die without taking permission. I mean, until unless death comes itself, that's another thing. Otherwise, it's not pure devotion. Gopis, they were not dying. They didn't commit suicide when Krishna left to Mathura. At least in Bhagavatam. They didn't do that. So because they said, well, we live for Krishna and we die for him. We live by his permission and we die by his permission. He didn't tell us to die. So we can't even die. But Parvati, she self-immolated. So that was not really a pure devotional act. She should have just left and went somewhere and do some tapasya or something or devotion. And that was a good thing, but she didn't do a right thing. That's the whole point there. So her action was not really pure devotion. It was out of confusion. Not really, on the scale of devotion, on the scale of gopis, it was not like that. So, and that's why commentators don't comment on these things, on this pastime much, because it's not there on exactly pure devotional platform. She left by her own decision. She took a life from her own decision. And this is not devotion, am I right? This is not devotion. The base of devotion is you don't take your own decision. That's the whole problem there. So this whole pastime also teaches us even great souls can be greatly confused. Illusion is like that. And she was confused. And that is why when she became when she left her body, after that, then she took again birth as Parvati, isn't it? As a daughter of Himalayas, you know that, no?
Yeah.
So, but in that birth, she had to wait to actually do a lot of austerities to marry to Lord Shiva. If you read about the life of Parvati. Because she had to purify herself, because the action she did, neither leaving Shiva and neither dying, that was not exactly on pure platform. And then Shiva became pleased and then he came. Otherwise, he was not ready to marry Parvati. And then he took a lot of tests of her. Whether she really loves me or not, so this is all descriptions given. Because she's taking decisions by her own end. And that taking decisions on your own end, that is completely anti-devotional. So he actually tests in many ways. And after that, after many, many years of austerities, after completing her test, then Lord Shiva agrees to marry her. So it's like that.
thank you, Prabhuji. And one more thing, connected question. Mm-hmm. Discussing like this on Parvati, Mother Parvati, is that would that be an offense or?
No, it's mentioned in scriptures. So what do you do if it's mentioned in scriptures? Scriptures, see, everything depends on intentions. Nothing is discussed in scriptures to malign the personality, to actually condescend and defame them. Everything is mentioned in scriptures to warn us, to help us understand how strong and how tricky is illusion, and to never be proud that we can be out of illusion at any point of time. We need mercy of Krishna at every step. That's all. As Vaishnavas, we don't want to. I mean to say, if there's a temple of Shiva Parvati, it's not that we'll not go in. I mean to say, if there's temple, if there are deities, just like by coincidence, we come face to face with Lord Shiva Parvati, deities will be obeisance because they're very great. But even Lord Shiva, come on. I mean to say, you don't want to discuss Lord Shiva running after Mohini or what? He's running naked after Mohini and his semen got ripped off. Like, what do you do? So we should delete it from Bhagavatam and we should never talk about it. Sukhdeva is talking and we can talk about it with the intention to understand that even Lord Shiva is nothing in front of Krishna's illusion. That's the whole idea. To glorify Krishna, everything is fine. That's the intention. So glorifying his illusion is glorifying him. Because he is the master illusion. In that sense.
Yeah, so Prabhuji, one more question is that, Lord Shiva getting disturbed by Parvati, and I mean, this is mentioned in respect to with Haridas Thakur also, Srila Prabhupada compares. So if one in that sense says, then about Lord, about Krishna also, people could say, right? So there is one incident in Lord Shiva's life, but then Krishna with gopis, and of course we know that it's transcendental, but for a person who sees like this, comparing great controllers' pastimes, how does it...
Krishna never becomes bewildered, no? And so what's the point? Lord Shiva is... Lord Shiva does something obscene. He's bewildered, but Krishna is not bewildered. He's in full control of himself. And he's knowing what he's doing. So there's a difference. He's bewildered by illusion, but Krishna is doing to please his devotees and their devotee, whatever, and he knows what he's doing. He's never bewildered. There's no pastime where he's bewildered. Except, okay, Lord Ram, you can say he was bewildered. Even in Krishna's pastime, once he was bewildered when who came? Who was that? Who actually cut his father's head and...
Shalva.
And then Krishna was weeping and then Balaram says, no, this is illusion. That is one exception where he does pastime of being bewildered, but instantly he got over that. So otherwise he never becomes bewildered. Lord Ramchandra, he became bewildered. He was weeping for Sita, but then there was a purpose behind that, to actually show his love for Sita. But here in these all pastimes, they are really being bewildered. They admit themselves. Lord Shiva admits. Lord Brahma admits, I'm bewildered. Like that. So we can tell them this.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. For patiently answering all questions and doubts. Yeah. Thank you for your wonderful association.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Go ahead, Mataji.
Hare.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all the rest to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, you're just mentioning, I mean, not you are mentioning, but it is there in the scriptures, but as we are stating here, Mother Parvati is also, get confused, and she'll be in Dynama. So, please ignore me, if this is not a right question, but then what is the difference between demigods and the human beings? Are we all going to be considered because demigods are also behaving like a humans, then what is
the difference? No, demigods behave in such a way, rarely, but we always behave like that. That's the difference. If sometimes we are complete nonsense, we are always behaving like foolish and demigods, when they commit some mistake, they immediately realize it. And they correct it by doing a lot of penance and austerities. But we are committing 24 hours and we don't even realize we are committing mistakes and offenses 24 hours. And on the contrary, we think we are pure. We are demigods. The only difference is demigods are sane and we are completely insane. And that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. And also, Prabhuji, just Mataji asked a question. Mother Parvati wants to test Sri Rama, that Sri Rama is a human being and he's a god. He's in the form of human being. So in one of the lectures, in Sunday program, I did not remember exactly. Mm-hmm. But is this something that Mother Parvati is glorifying Sri Rama in this form?
No, she was really testing. That's why Lord Shiva became angry. And this is a whole pastime in Padma Puran. She, indirectly, her actions might glorify, I don't know how. It could have been done like that. I mean, to say Ram might have used her to glorify himself and to reveal that he's God. Just like he used Raman to actually glorify Hanuman by engaging him a lot of service through Raman. But also to kill many demons and protect rishis. So Ram might have used from his own capacity, but her intention was not to glorify. Her intention was to actually test him. And that's why they say it's an offense. I mean to say, if she would have, her intention would have been to glorify, then there would not be no offense. It says it was an offense. Lord Shiva, he was angry. He was angry. And that's why, in fact, that is the pastime due to which she has to suffer this Daksha's, Prajapati's whole incidents. That was a major catastrophe in her life. And the reactions came here.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, but wasn't Parvati much later after Sati, right? So why would that be the reason?
It depends. We don't know the chronology. When that happened and what time scales that's happening, when exactly, nobody knows. I mean, that's what I was saying. In Bhagavatam, it might be mentioned later, but Bhagavatam is not according to time frames. Even Krishna Leela is not according to time frames.
So you mean it was in a previous kalpa or something?
Yeah. It was previous, or maybe previous kalpa somewhere. Maybe not this in kalpa.
So because in this kalpa, we see that she comes from Prasuti, Swayambhuva Manu. She comes directly in the first Manu. So Sati comes in the first Manu. So that's why I was curious.
Of course, you're right. It should be in previous kalpa somewhere. Because Valmiki Ramayana doesn't mention that. So we presume that it should be in previous kalpa. And she has to suffer in this kalpa.
And also, help me in understanding my thinking, Prabhuji. Mother Parvati went to Daksha Yajna and even not hearing Lord Shiva, that means Daksha is trying to insult Lord Shiva. So she wants to give Lord Daksha as a punishment because Lord Daksha daughter is in Dakshaini, she's in the form of Lord Mother Parvati. So he, as she's a daughter, she cannot do anything to his father. So she wants to punish in this form.
The whole point is she can't take decisions on her own. That's the whole point. She might do whatever she wants to do, but a devotee cannot take decisions on his own. We might think our decisions are right, but it has to be, especially such important decisions. And you see, Prabhupada says it's a woman's nature. She didn't listen to Lord Shiva. Prabhupada mentioned in the Purport. That's how woman acts impulsively. And here also she's acting impulsively. That was not right on her part because she's not an ordinary woman. She should not behave like an ordinary woman. And she did that, that's all. And if she thinks, okay, you should have thought, okay, I'll punish Daksha like that, that's not a good thing to think. You can't think like that. I mean, a devotee should think, let me have mercy on this soul who is completely bewildered. But she completely lost her senses. She was completely bewildered and she didn't do a right thing. In fact, burning your own body, that is very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Killing yourself, doing suicide, Vaishnava offense. There is one way if there is a Vaishnava being offended, either you leave that place or cut the tongue or do suicide. But doing suicide, that's the last option. Especially, and also, you have to, either if your spiritual master is not there and there's nobody to ask, no senior Vaishnavas, then probably you can do. But this kind of act is also sinful in scriptures. The prayaschit for devotion or any offense is devotion, if possible, or asking pardon from that Vaishnava. She should have simply gone to Shiva and asked pardon.
Mm-hmm.
And then asked him, what kind of prayaschit should I do? You suggest now, I didn't listen to you previously. Now I am there, I ask pardon, this happened, please tell me prayaschit. And he could have told, simply. But she's taking all decisions on herself and thinking she's right. Now this is what we do. We just do something wrong and then do another thing wrong in the impulse and complicate the whole situation. That's what she did. Just completely complicated everything. And then Shiva had to send that. Was that Vritrasura or who was that? Oh, no.
Veerabhadra.
Veerabhadra, yeah. He has to send, and then so many Brahmanas were killed, and their Daksh Prajapati, their rishis were killed. What's happening? You don't know. Her action didn't bring good fortune. If action was correct, it would have brought good fortune, but her action brought such misfortune for her own father himself. He was killed. And the rishis were killed. So, her action was not good. Not completely desired. You can't do suicide because we have to see, scripture says many things, but at the same time, there are other aspects which we have to look and understand. Otherwise, you see, what happened was, in New Vrindavan, same thing happened. You know that history. Now they said that these people did Vaishnava offense. So the thing is, somebody does Vaishnava offense, either you leave that place or you kill him or do suicide. So they said, okay, let's choose this option, kill them. And there were so many murders. But that's murder, that's not fulfilling scriptures. So scriptures are speaking so many things. That's why it is said we need, even to follow scriptures, we need a lot of devotion and really vivek. Otherwise, in the name of scriptures, we'll be doing blunders. So she, if she knew scriptures, she got it wrong that time. She was bewildered in this case completely. And that's why Prabhupada says Parvati is not at level of gopis and Satyabhama and all these. Her level is different, we know that. Why it's different? Because sometimes they get bewildered. Lord Shiva gets bewildered, Parvati gets bewildered. They are great demigods, but they get. And that's why Shiva is quoting. You tell me why Shiva is quoting her pastime. To glorify her? Bhagavatam is only to glorify Krishna and to tell us and to warn us that, don't do things which are disturbing to God, which are not pure devotional activities. It's all about Krishna, it's not about Vanadeva Parvati, it's not about Lord Shiva. Because it's Amala Puran. And he's, Bhagavad Gita is quoting, Brahma is quoting, Parvati is quoting, Shiva, just to let us know. You see, Sukadeva Goswami is quoting mistake of Brahma with Krishna and then her daughter. Sukadeva Goswami never glorifies Brahma. He didn't quote even a single incident where Brahma is doing something great and he's glorified. But he doesn't want to glorify him. His agenda, it's not that he doesn't want to glorify, but his agenda in Bhagavatam is to glorify only Lord Krishna. So he's not interested in glorifying Parvati there. He's interested in telling, okay, this is, they are great, but he's interested in glorifying illusory potency of Lord Krishna. And indirectly, he glorifies Krishna in that sense. Krishna is the greatest. His potency can bewilder anybody, even great demigods like Bhavati. So otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. This whole, why Sukadeva Goswami will quote this passage? Tell me, what's the point of telling so many things, so much killing? This pastime is quoted in details in Shiva Puran and in Tamasic Puranas because they are glorifying Parvati. But then they twist everything, because those are Tamoguni. They twist and they do so many other things. They misinterpret. But Lord Shiva is glorifying selected pastimes which glorifies illusory potency. Lord, and help us understand how Krishna is great. Sukadeva Goswami never quotes Ganesha, not even in one instant. Mm-hmm. He never gives any examples of, for example, Vayudeva, Varundev, directly. He doesn't do that. He's not interested. That's the whole point there.
Yeah, thank you so much for helping me in understanding, Prabhuji.
Actually, who is this?
I didn't. My name is Niharika Prabhuji. I'm super new to Krishna consciousness and just like in a basic level.
From where? You are where? You are living where? Okay. In America?
Nebraska.
Oh, Nebraska, okay.
Yes,
oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Dhanvad pranam once again, Prabhuji. Koti koti dhanvad.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvad pranam. Thank you for the beautiful class, Prabhuji, and those two words with so much of meaning and explanation. Prabhuji, in between you said Krishna's ego. Is Krishna's ego, satisfying Krishna's ego and satisfying Krishna's interest one and the same? Like the devotee should always work seeing what pleases Krishna rather than their own self or anybody else for that matter. Is the same thing as Krishna's ego, Prabhu? Thank you.
I was saying you should identify with the ego of God. Yeah, one aspect of identifying with the ego of Krishna is to fulfill his interests. That's perfectly fine. But there are more layers to it. To identify with the ego of God means to be proud of his actions. That's a deeper meaning there. You should feel just as when you feel proud when you do something nice or great, you should feel proud that my Krishna is lifted covers and he'll all kill so many demons like that.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you. So on practical level, our day-to-day life, how do we, not artificially...
Oh, day-to-day life, identifying with the ego of Krishna, it's what you said, to fulfill his interests.
Okay, but
when you go on subtler levels, when you come on consciousness level, on chanting level, and then these things will come. When you will think of pastimes of God, you will not just feel attraction and liking, you will feel pride. But that pride will be connected to God and not yourself. So that's how it will go.
Okay, so this is somewhat like when our children do something and we feel so happy.
Yeah,
we
that
feel
does.
More...
Yeah, we feel proud, isn't it? That's what example I give.
Yes, Prabhu, yes. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for explaining. Hare Krishna, Dadvartana.
Okay, so, yeah, who is it?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
I have, pardon me if I'm wrong, but I have a small question. Like in Mahabharata, all those in the Kaurava side, like Dronacharya, Duryodhan, Kans, they were slain by like chal and
no,
like they.
Prabhupada like, says, "Chalam chaliyatam asmi." Prabhupada says, "With cheaters, you have to become cheaters. That's not cheating." That is dharma.
Okay.
So they were cheaters. They were liars. So Krishna said to Yudhishthira, okay, then you can also use lie and cheating for the benefit of mankind. That is dharma.
Okay. But then, like in the end, we come to know that Yudhishthira was punished because he said lie. So like, why was
no, Yudhishthira was not punished. Actually, Yudhishthira was not punished, by the way. He was not punished because of lie. He was punished because he hesitated to follow the orders of God, of Krishna. Krishna said, you announce Ashwatthama is dead. He hesitated. Because of that hesitation, he was punished, not because of lie.
Okay.
Is that fine?
Hare Krishna. Yes. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Oh.
Thank you.
Oh. Oh,
thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhuji, just a quick follow-up on the pride. You know, one a devotee feeling proud in the relationship with Krishna. You know, once a devotee is, you know, of that level, let's say self-realized or near self-realization, the pride is that this person, Krishna, who is so great, you know, he is my friend, or he is my son, or he is my, you know, lover, something like that. Is it like that?
No. You see, he might be a son, he might be a lover, or whatever. The point is, I don't know, I mean to say, you might have done something and you might have felt proud and so many things, am I right? Sometimes.
So that
same feeling should come when Krishna lifts Govardhan. And I may read that pastime. That my master has accomplished such a great feat and this is success. Now that same exhilaration, that same jubilation, that same feeling should be there. If you are experiencing the same feeling, then that means you're entertained with the pride of Lord. But that doesn't happen. We just like that pastime.
You just what?
I mean, that feeling of pride doesn't come. We just have feeling of attraction and liking when we read Govardhan pastime.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling of pride doesn't come. That we have, that yes, my master has accomplished such a task. So that comes after a long practice of devotion, because that's the end, because then you have connected your pride with the Lord, which is the root cause of material existence, and then we get liberated.
So I'm not sure, it does sound like the answer to my question was yes, you know, that when Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, for example, you know, depending upon what your relationship is with Krishna, you'll feel so proud that this person with whom I have whatever my relationship is with him, that same person was able to lift Govardhan Hill on just his pinky.
Okay, if you wanted to say that, you're fine. That's how it goes.
But what was not fine then, if what?
And what will? What was not fine? No, actually I misunderstood your answer. You were telling that
being pride with Krishna means to accept him as son or lover or friend. I thought you were...
Not to be proud that he is.
So now I understand. So that's fine.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, so I think we're going to end up here. My Mataji, where are you?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for answering our questions. One more question, Prabhuji. Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was hesitating to speak lie on in the, when Krishna said. So, Prabhuji, he having pride that I don't lie in my life.
Yeah, he was proud. He was proud because of that. Then Krishna wanted to actually free him of this pride. That's why he asked specifically him. One of the reasons, major reason was that. So he was having subtle pride somewhere. Then Krishna actually detected it. So, you see, even Yudhishthira Maharaj, nobody is exempt of this pride. Very difficult. At all.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay, Jay. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class and very nice question answer session, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Okay, on the call here by offering obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpataro Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindu Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Dhanavad Pranam. Hare Krishna.